listening to the Last Gen podcast brought to you by Miracle Word Ministries. These episodes are specifically created with students in mind. More than ever before, we must know why we believe what we believe, build strong faith, and stay on fire for God. We know that Jesus is coming soon, and we're going to live like this is the last generation. Are you ready? Let's go.
We were talking about kind of like what we wanted to discuss. And I think this topic is going to help a lot of people because we're talking about, you saw the title. The title is, can you go to the title? The title is, what do I do when I'm waiting to step out? What do I do when I'm waiting to step out? Now, I remember being 14, 15, knowing what God has called me to do, knowing, you know, in my specific case, knowing that he called me to preach, knowing that he called me to be an evangelist. And at 14, 15, 16, even up to the point where, you know, I was 18 and left home, I knew that God had called me to something. And whether if that's you, you're 16, you're 14, 13, you could be like, you know, 18, about ready to step out, do what God's called you to do, go to college if he's called you to go to college, you know, step out, go to trade school, whatever it may be. You know what God's called you to do. But you seem like you're in this period of waiting. And pretty much by virtue of the fact that everyone in this country is forced to go to high school and middle school. So I would be in that season of life, if you will. And I would be so anxious, but anxious to the point where I thought that I was just wasting time in high school. I would say things like, oh, high school's a waste. I don't even know why I'm here. I thought that so much that I just... got out early. Not that I dropped out, but you know, because I thought, you know, what am I even doing here? I'm called to preach. Why do I need middle school? Why do I need high school? I've known since I was 12, right? So I thought I was wasting my time. One of the best quotes on this that I've ever heard, I believe it's from evangelist Ted Shuttlesworth Sr. And he says that preparation time is never wasted time.
Right.
Put that in the comments. Preparation time is never wasted time. Preparation time is never wasted time. So you could be in that position where you think, you know, I just want to step out. I just want to start. Well, the reality is you can't leave middle school. You've got to finish. The reality is you have to go to high school in some states. And your parents aren't just going to say, all right, you know, drop out, do whatever. While you're in this season, there's something to be doing.
Right.
There's 100% something to be doing. And it'll only be wasted time if you think that it's wasted time.
Right.
You could waste your time. I remember years of high school that I did waste. And I look back and I was like, yeah, it was a waste because I thought, you know, I've got time. I guess I'm in high school now, so I can just goof off, do whatever I want. And then when it comes to senior year, I'll get serious about God, about my calling. And so all of those years in high school were just completely wasted. But we're going to talk about today, if you're in that situation, whether you could even be, you know, in college, you could be like 24, 25, you see the vision, God's given you the vision, but you're not there yet.
Right.
You're not there yet. And though we do believe, we call things that are not as though they are, we believe and we speak it, we confess what we have, not what we want. We know that God will give it to us, but look at your reality, I'm not there yet. So
right.
What do I do now to get me to where I want to go?
This is one of, I feel like, the biggest topics among young people of what they're like wondering and asking from the Lord. The first one is, what am I called to do? You know, if you're saved, you understand that you have a purpose, you have a calling, you can't just do whatever you want with your life. And so I feel like that's one of the biggest things that young people are wondering. But then once they know, it's like, yeah, what you mean? Like, what am I going to do until then? You know, I want to go preach the gospel all around the world, but I'm stuck in a high school. But that's like, just like you said, that's training grounds. You can work. There's still things that you can do before you officially step out. And I think a big mistake that people make is waiting. Just saying like, when I graduate, then I'll pursue the call.
Right.
But there's things, even if you're not going around the world preaching in high school, there is so much that you can do to train yourself, to build up your faith now, to press into the word of God now, that then when you graduate high school and step out into that, you're ready.
Right.
You're ready to go.
And it doesn't even have to be, I know we'll talk about it from this perspective of going into ministry because separately both of us, you know, feel a call into ministry. That's why we work for a ministry. That's why we do ministry.
No way.
So But don't think of it just like that, because the reality is most people aren't going to be called right. into ministry. So whether you're called to be a teacher, like a school teacher, mm-hmm. I'm talking about like middle school, high school, college professor, whether it's a scientist of some sorts, computer science, you know, physics, whatever it is that you're called to do. Some people, some women, and I know not that you could speak to this because you have experience, but you've talked to girls your age. Some people feel called to be a mom. Like that's, right. they feel like, you know, that's their calling. And that is a great calling. That's like, don't look down on that. Don't think, you know, you got half a calling because you want to be,
right.
you know, you want to create a family and raise up children. So it doesn't have to be a ministry, but you're called to do something, but you're not there yet. Most people are not there yet. They've not stepped into it.
Right.
I think of David. David had been anointed. So he was a shepherd at first, right? Mm-hmm. He was in charge of a flock of sheep. And Samuel comes along, the prophet, anoints him as king of Israel, right? But the interesting thing about that story is once Samuel anoints David as the king of Israel, he's not instantly king. Mm-hmm. There are many, 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 many chapters that David has to wait.
Yes.
To have what God already said is his, right?
Yeah.
So
not only that, yeah. though, in that time, he's spending it pressing into the Lord, you know, while he's tending the sheep, right? That's tending sheep.
Tending to the sheep.
Yeah. Tending to the sheep. He's pressing into the Lord. He's singing songs. He's writing psalms.
Right.
And that is really his training ground, because then you see when he goes to face Goliath, you know, he's stepping out in his purpose. He's being a man of God.
Right.
Then he's like, I've already defeated a lion. I've already defeated
Way
a bear.
To steal my point. I was getting there.
I'm so sorry.
Good Lord.
I just stole that.
Just
from
stole
me.
The preach right out of me.
Did I really?
Touch
I'm so
people
sorry.
People and tell them Lilia stole it.
But then I agree with you. This idea that you had, I stole your notes before we began. But it's true. Everything he did to prepare, then when he was faced with a challenge, or when when he stepped out, he didn't, you know, get up to Goliath and say, what do? I don't even know how to trust in God. He was like, I already have experience. I've been training. I've been faithful. And now as I step out, I'm ready.
Yeah.
And so it's like, just as we've been saying, it's like, don't wait until you're stepping out in the call to then prepare yourself, to then figure it out. It's like, so first things first, you have to know what you have to do. But then it's like, what can I do now? Where I'm at, there's always something you can do to train yourself up for that position.
100%. David, everything that he did in the field was used when he was a warrior, mm-hmm. when he was a king, when he was a prophet, yep. and when he was a priest. He learned how to shepherd sheep in the field, mm-hmm. which he later needed to shepherd God's people, Israel. So every skill that he acquired in the field was something that God needed him to know to bring him to where he was called to be.
Yeah.
He even said it out of his mouth, and he said it to Goliath. I've already slain I've taken down the lion. I've taken down the bear. And his point was, because I've taken those two steps, the giant, though it is a step up, it's not from 0 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it this way. You don't preach crusades before you've won one person to Jesus.
Yeah.
You can't preach to thousands before you've won your neighbor to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go from 0 to 100. God takes you on little by little, increase. He killed the bear. He killed the lion. Now, Goliath, and people see it as like an underdog story, which it is. But if you think about it, and honestly, if you study, I read this book by Malcolm Gladwell, and he's not a Christian, but it's an interesting point that he makes. He's kind of pushing against the story, and he takes the story of David and Goliath, and he's pushing against the idea that David and Goliath was some unattainable victory that David had, where it was like so shocking that David killed Goliath.
Right.
And he goes through, and you can tell me if you think this is wrong, whatever. The Bible doesn't say this specifically, but he goes through the story, and he points out things like, it seems to be that Goliath was nearsighted, that he couldn't see. He had someone lead him onto the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be like in that day, we think of David having like a slingshot. He really had a sling.
Yeah.
And what that was the most dangerous projectile weapon that anyone had during that day. And this is interesting because he took 5 stones, and it's not like this unlikely victory. Those people who knew how to use the sling in that day were like, think about it as like long-ranged, like special forces snipers.
Right.
Like that's how effective and dangerous that weapon was. So it's not like, God asked him to like throw a rock at him. God asked him to use a very effective weapon. So it's not that much of an impossibility. What it is slow, steady increase. Mm-hmm. David learned how to slay the lion. He learned how to slay the bear. Now, to David, Goliath wasn't a huge deal. And you hear it when he talks.
Yeah.
You hear the confidence in his voice. You hear his swagger, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
No, like, did you just say David had swagger?
Yeah. Well, you know, the millennial's coming out. But if you think about it like that, like, you won't be so unprepared.
Yeah.
If you just take the steps now, like you're 16, right? You're 16, you're in high school. You want to be an effective soul winner as an adult. Your mm-hmm. purpose in life, like every Christian, is to win souls. If you talk to that one friend that you have about Jesus, then soul winning becomes a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Becomes a little bit less scary. Becomes a little bit less intimidating. And so if you've done those steps, doesn't seem like a big deal. It's just the next step up.
Right.
So you've got so much time now. And don't let it like pass you by and think, oh, I guess I'll never be, you know, that thing that God, I guess I'll never be the CEO of that company. I guess I'll never be that. Take the time now, kill the bear, kill the lion.
Yeah.
There are obstacles that you can take out now so you don't have to worry about them later.
Right.
You know, like you don't get to law school and like the bar is in a week and you're like, oh, I should probably study like the laws. Like that's not how you get there. You go right. through, you do your bachelor's, then you learn, you know, you go through whatever state you're in, the laws of that state. Then you study for the bar. You don't wait until the last minute to prepare. I mean, this is just a basic life principle. But yeah. with Christianity, it's the same thing.
Everyone with a test tomorrow morning is like, well, studying under this.
Be honest with you. I didn't really. I shouldn't say
you didn't study and you aced the test. I would study and fail a test.
Dang.
So that's where we're at.
Sucks to be you. Anyways, thanks for hyping me up. She was in my, I met Lilia in high school math.
It's true.
So
I literally went to school for like a month though.
Yeah.
And then it all shut down.
And it shows. Yeah, but.
But it's very true.
Yeah.
One thing that like Pastor Ted preaches is like, you're not waiting. Like yeah. you're not just sitting around waiting. Like you shouldn't go to high school and be telling all your friends like, one day I'll be a powerful evangelist. Yeah. You're starting now. Your life mm-hmm. looks like it now. You look like somebody who will be an evangelist. And so it's like, you're not waiting around. You're like waiting, like a server waiting, like, Lord, what can I do for you? You know, be obedient even in the little things that he's giving to you now. You know, if you're just like David, he was over the sheep, but he was faithful over the sheep. He gave it all he had. He even went to that battle, not to fight Goliath, but to bring food to his brothers. So it's like where you are now, you have a role, you can serve, you can learn. There's people that you can train under, even if there's nobody around you. It's like, there's YouTube now. You can exactly. you can watch broadcasts. You can watch, I mean, even when we started this broadcast, we played a video of like Lester Sumrall. You can tune into those, build your faith, and learn how to step out now. So then when, just like Alex said with the bar, it's not like then you're figuring out how to do it. You already know.
Right. You should look like you know what you're doing at every step of the way.
Yeah.
It may be intimidating to you, but to everyone else, it should look like, wow, he's been doing it for years.
Yeah. And your excuse should not be, but I'm young. Yeah. Like, don't despise yourself for
your
youth.
Do not use that. That's a good point that you make.
Act like you're older than you are. Even if you don't feel like it, act like it.
That's a good point that you make.
If you have to fake it, like, it's like that saying, like, fake it till you make it. Like, obviously don't fake it. But like, if even if your brain is telling you, but you're young, you have time, wait it out. Don't listen. Step out. I mean, how old were you when you did Take VB? Like a crusade in Virginia, people would say like, that's like, you're too young for that. You should wait till you're older to step out. But you did it anyways at what, 17?
I think it just turned, no, I was 16. I turned 16.
16.
That year. Yeah.
But it's like people would say like, that's not possible. You're not going to have people help. You had people fly in from New York. Mm-hmm. You had people all over the ocean front come in. And so it's like you stepped out where you could.
Right.
You know, as the Lord opened a door, you stepped one step at a time.
And then like at the end of that, you say like, did thousands of people come in? No. Tens of people came in. I'm telling you, tens of people flooded that 100-person sanctuary.
Here's the thing, though. It was like I think it was the last night, one girl got saved.
Yeah.
But then when you started youth pastoring, then her friends came, got right. saved. So it's like, even if it's one person, even if right. it's a tiny little step, that just opens the door to the next step and the next right. step.
So, you know, it wasn't like a massive like thing, but
at the time it felt really massive.
At the time it felt really massive. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So like tens of people came, right? So like probably like, you know, anywhere from 50 to 80 people. All right. That's not a lot of people. That's not what you envision when you think crusade, right? But that's the bear. That's the lion. That's the small step. The small step for you is learning that skill. Learn that skill that will take you to where you want to go.
Yeah.
If you want to be a CPA, I only say that because I had to go into a CPA's office and file my taxes today. If you want to be a CPA, you've got to learn how to balance a budget. That's the first step.
Right.
So I put the first point. What do I do when I'm waiting to step into my calling? Number one, stop waiting.
Good point.
Stop waiting.
What can you do now? There's something that everyone can do now. You know, if you're called to preach, it's like, okay, maybe you don't have any open doors. You have a mic on your phone.
Yep.
You can literally download Podbean or Spotify podcasters and upload an episode. Start preaching. That's what I did.
Instagram Live.
To preach. And so it's like, okay, well, I don't know how to preach. So what can I do? Start.
Yeah.
Go Instagram Live. Go upload a podcast. Even just like start like learning how to just talk. It's like there's things you can do now. So then later you don't get in front of a whole congregation and start speaking for the first time on a mic.
Right.
You would stutter.
Right.
It'd be a mess.
That's
if you already know how to speak, it's like then when you step out, it's easy. Not easy, but you're trained.
It's not a massive step. It's not like 0 to 100. It's
exactly.
Like, it's like
I've defeated a lion
to 35. So I put the first stop waiting. Number one, stop waiting. Stop seeing it as a season of waiting. Stop telling people that you're in a season of waiting.
Right.
I know I put that as the title, but I only said, yeah, that's just the Christianese. That's just the Christianese that people use. I'm in a season of waiting.
Right.
And if you think you're in a season of waiting, you'll be in a season of waiting forever. Because understand this, your calling does not start at age 19. Your calling does not start when you've graduated college or when you've graduated Bible college. Your calling starts when you get saved.
Yeah.
Every part of your high school, every day of high school is part of your calling.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think you're waiting to step into your calling. I know it's like the contradictory of what we put in the title. Don't wait to step into your calling. You're already in it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't waste the first 7 years of your calling, 8 years of your calling, thinking you're not in your calling. You're in your calling.
Yeah.
So stop waiting. Number two, I put serve. You brought up David. David, the reason he was even positioned to be a spectacle to his generation was because he was willing to serve his father.
Yeah.
He had already, Pastor Ted preaches this all the time. He had already been anointed king of Israel. He knew that he would soon be king of Israel. The current king of Israel is not doing a great job and God does not want him to be king anymore. And the anointing has left him.
Mm-hmm.
David had every right to feel prideful. David had every opportunity to feel like, well, I'm still in the pasture. You know, I'm king of Israel.
Yeah.
I don't need to be tending the sheep. I don't need to be, you know, killing bears and lions. He could have done that, but when his dad asked him to go bring bread and cheese to his brothers, which by the way, his brothers, God had passed up.
Mm-hmm.
So that even adds another layer of it. Why am I serving the people that should be serving me?
Right.
So he showed honor to even people that were lower than him. And so he's in this place where he could be proud. He could be narcissistic and think, I shouldn't be doing this. His dad asks him to bring bread and cheese to the battlefield. Next verse, he's bringing bread and cheese to the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only there that he heard Goliath mouthing off. If he had not done that act of service, if he was not serving his father, serving where he was at currently, he would have never been in position to be the spectacle of his generation.
Yeah.
He would have never. I think there's a story Lester Summerall tells. We played him at the beginning of the broadcast. It's such a powerful story. He was, I mean, just to summarize his life story, it's probably one of my favorite life stories ever, Lester Summerall. It's amazing. He was called to preach at the age of 17. He was dying of tuberculosis. And he was like getting near to death. He was on death's door. He wakes up in the middle of the night in an open vision. On one side of his bed is a giant Bible from floor to ceiling, and it's open. On the other side of his bed is a giant coffin, like poised to catch him if he was to fall off the bed. He heard a voice, and God said to him, "You'll either preach my word or you'll die tonight." He says, "You have to choose." Lester Sumrall, though he wasn't saved, though he didn't like people and he hated preachers and preachers' kids, he decided, "I'm going to preach." And so long story short, he gets in his friend's Model T car, goes down the road, starts preaching in country, like country schoolhouses, right, that farmers owned. And so that's how he started at the age of 17, preaching. And he got to the point where he perfected his gift. He was, you know, faithful with the little. And he got to a point where he was doing this meeting in this big church. This pastor had called him and wanted him to do this meeting in this big church. And he started off the meeting and it went great the first night. Then God told him, "I want you to cancel the rest of the days of this meeting and go to this conference that this man of God is having." The man of God was named Howard Carter. He was the president of a Bible school. And he had an amazing revelation on the gifts of the Spirit, unlike anyone in his generation. And so God spoke to him, "Cancel the rest of this meeting and go see Howard Carter at this convention." And, you know, for Lester Sumrall, this is the first big church meeting he's ever had. And it went great. The pastor liked him. He had to tell the pastor, "I'm not coming back." The pastor, I mean, rightly so, was furious. He was like, "I'm going to run your name down to every pastor that I know, so you'll never be able to preach in a church within a 1,000 miles of this church." And so Lester Sumrall said, "Fine, but I have to go. God told me to go." He goes to that convention, and he listens to Howard Carter preach. And at the end, it was custom for the preacher to, you know, the people who just heard the message would line up at the back of the sanctuary to shake hands with the preacher, just, you know, "Thank you for coming." So Lester Sumrall was in the line. Howard Carter was coming down the line. Thank you for coming. As soon as Lester Sumrall got to, or Howard Carter got to Lester Sumrall and shook his hand, Lester shouted out, and he didn't mean to. It just came out of his mouth. "I'll go with you wherever you go. I'll never leave your side." I'm paraphrasing here. "I'll never leave your side. When you're old, I'll take care of you. And wherever you go, I'll follow you." Mm. Something to that effect. He shouted out, and he like couldn't stop it. It just came out of his mouth. And he was felt so embarrassed, you know, like the young preacher, you know, saying that you feel like a fool, you know, like I'm, you know, this is the man of God that, you know, and I'm just shouting, I'm just mouthing off. And Howard Carter kind of looked at him and he said, "Young man, I want you to come by my hotel room later tonight." And he gave him his hotel room number. And Lester Sumrall was thinking, great, he's going to like rebuke me for being like the, you know, the young preacher that's just mouthing off. And Lester Sumrall goes to his hotel room and walks in. Howard Carter's there, and he's with his buddy that traveled with him, a Pentecostal historian. And he says, "Come in, come in." Lester Sumrall sits down, thinking he's going to get ripped a new one. He sits down, and Howard Carter pulls out a book that he keeps. And Howard Carter would keep a detailed record of all the things God told him. So in prayer, he would get something, he would write it down. And he came to like this date about a year ago that he wrote down, and God said, I'm going to send you a helper. Howard Carter was unmarried. He didn't feel to get married. He never got married, so he was single. So he said, "I'm going to send you a helper. You'll know who the helper is because when he meets you, he'll say this." Huh. And he quotes the following, "I'll go with you wherever you go. I'll never leave your side. When you're old, I'll take care of you." So quotes the exact same thing that Lester Sumrall, it was a prophecy and it came true. Now I think of that. And so, you know, after that, he starts traveling with him. He goes around the world with him and gets so much impartation. That's what caused him to meet. He was on path and he met Smith Wigglesworth. That's what caused him to be in all these nations, to be in the Philippines when he cast out that demon and made national, that revival broke loose, all of that. All of the great things in his life came because he was at the right place,
yeah,
at the right time, because he obeyed the call of God. And if he wasn't in position... Think about that. If he wasn't in the position that God had him in, and it was a very specific position, it was at that conference in like Alabama. If he didn't go there, who knows like where his life would be?
Yeah.
Who knows? If you're out of position, you can't think that your life is just going to fall back into track.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be in position. And think about David. David was in position through serving. Mm-hmm. I'm in position. Though I'm not there yet, I'm going to be where I am now. I'm not going to get anxious about the future. I'm called to be king. I'm going to be content with where I am now. I'm going to serve where I am now. And that God's going to, the Bible says, if you're humble, God will exalt the humble.
Yeah.
And he'll reject the proud, but he'll give more grace to the humble. And in due season, he will exalt you.
Yeah.
And that's what happened for David. If he brought himself low, if he humbled himself, if he served, then God exalted him. That's the same thing for you. So what's the practical? Find either a minister, a ministry, your church, or someone that is ahead of you in the field that you want to go into. Mm-hmm.
Who is doing what you want to do.
If you
want to
be in plumbing, a master plumber. If you want to be an electrician, a master electrician. If you want to be a lawyer, someone who is way ahead of you in what you want to be doing. If you're called to be a teacher, a teacher mm-hmm. at your school, humble yourself, be teachable, and say, yeah. I'm not where I'm at. I'm not where I want to be, but you are, and mm-hmm. I want to be where you are.
Yeah.
So teach me. I'm going to serve you. And then the goal is not to try to get anything from them. The goal is give as much as you can to them.
Yeah.
My goal right now is not to try to build up me. It's try to build up where God's placed me. Try right. to build up miracle. Or try to, you know, do what God's called you to do. And in due season, he'll exalt you. Service.
Yes. Serving. Like one thing that I'm so glad I was taught that early on. Find somebody who is doing what you're called to do and follow them. Because it shows you how to fix your character, how to get in line, just like you said, how to get into position, how you should operate in life. And they set the example. And one thing that like I, especially when I graduated high school for, one thing that I thanked God often for was thank you for putting people in my life worth imitating. Because I, correct me if I'm wrong, it's Paul to the Corinthian church where he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so I constantly just said, thank you, Lord, for putting people in my life worth imitating. Because I have found people who are doing what I feel called to do. And just like you said, as you serve, as you press in, so one thing that you said was like Miracle Word Church. That's a great opportunity for people to serve. This isn't a serve team ad,
but
I see young people. One thing like, okay, so say you're called to media, to like do all that camera work.
Right.
There is so much at your local church that you can help out with setting up, you know, maybe you're just like rolling cords, coiling yeah. cords that takes you. Once you're faithful with that, you get promoted into another job. It's like serving where you are, imitating people who are doing what you're called to do opens the doors for opportunities. And just like you said, you're not building up yourself,
right.
but it really is a training ground for you.
Right. It's actually a biblical principle. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed.
Yeah.
So it's the opposite of what you think. What you think is I need to network. I need to get my name out there.
Right.
And in this time, when you're 16, you don't need to get your name out there. I mean, do what God's called you to mm-hmm. do. God will exalt you. Don't try to make it happen by yourself. Don't right. try to make it happen in the flesh. The question is, why isn't every young person that's on fire for God, why aren't you serving at your church?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't
If you're on fire for God, you have a hunger to serve anyways. Right. It's like, I have to get started right now. Right.
So it doesn't even have to be specific. Like you said, like if you're called into media, serve in media. But even if what you're called to do is not represented in your church, serve anyways.
Yeah.
Because the principle remains the same.
Right.
God exalts the humble. Mm-hmm. Those who are meek in spirit will inherit the earth.
Yeah.
Right. He'll resist the proud. If you can't serve at your local church, you're too proud to be who God's called you to be.
Exactly.
If you're too proud to volunteer as a greeter, if mm-hmm. you're like, that's above me, I'm called to preach. Or if you're too proud to help out wherever. Like serving at a church is such a local, it's such a basic.
It's fundamental.
It's a fundamental thing that I think a lot of Christians, they just think it's like optional. And I know not a large majority of people aren't like serving at their church. And that, you know, no one's going to get on them, but there should be this thing in you that if you're a Christian, Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If mm-hmm. you've got the heart of Jesus, your heart is to build the church.
Yeah.
Any way that you can.
Yes.
Even if you're not even like, well, I'm not gifted in, you know, this. Well, anyone can hold a sign and greet.
Yep.
Anyone can smile. Anyone can welcome.
Is that you proving that you can smile?
Yeah. Not everyone can usher. I've learned that. I've learned that through experience. I'm not that called to usher.
Just you, Alex.
Yeah. I'm not called to usher. No ushering for me. I've dropped too many people in my one day of ushering. There's a limit. Like,
you're getting prayed
one.
For. Make sure Pastor Alex is not.
You get one person that you're allowed to drop as an usher in your first
you're
day.
Done. He's kicked. Not speaking from experience or anything.
Right.
There was this pastor in Virginia, and he always would tell, like, he knew he was called a pastor, but he would always say that, like, he would serve in his local church, like, scrubbing toilets. And that can mm-hmm. seem, like, so low. That can seem like, I'm better than this. I'm going to be a pastor of a church. Why am I scrubbing toilets? Yeah. And maybe you're not in the position of scrubbing a toilet. Right. But he said that he would, like, he never thought that. I'm pretty sure he didn't. He never thought that because he just had a love for the church. Like,
was
he understood.
Pastor Chris?
No, Pastor Clayton. Unless I'm getting things mixed up.
No, one of my Bible school professors, he was just like the landscaper.
Really?
Yeah.
Same with that. It can seem like I'm not called to do this. I'm called to preach. I'm called to teach, whatever it is. Yeah. But it's like, I'm pretty sure it's Pastor Clayton. He said that he would scrub these toilets because he just had a love for the church.
Right,
and that's one thing. That's one thing that I've always loved the church. I've always, like, ever since I was saved, I love church. I love the Lord, obviously.
Yeah.
But there was one time where I was in a service and I just felt that. Like, I walked into the service and the power of God was moving. And I just, I truly thought, like, I felt like I felt that verse for the first time of, like, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days anywhere else. And so I feel like once, like, when you feel that, you have such a hunger to serve. Because it's like, I will do anything. I just want to be in church all the time. I want to serve, and I'm hungry to see my church grow.
Right. And it's like you said, it's a fundamental basic thing as Christians.
Even if you don't want to scrub a toilet.
Right.
Do it. Be faithful.
Well, there's so many things you can do at your church. If you're young, like, help the youth pastor. I'm not just saying this because, you know, help the youth pastor, man. We need help.
Put the camera on me.
No, I'm just saying.
Help your youth pastor.
But you'll be able to see who's really on fire for God. This is how you see who's really on fire for God. Those who are willing, they just want to be at church.
Yeah.
They just want to be. It doesn't matter what they're doing. They just want to be at church.
Yeah. When I, like, youth pastored in Virginia, you would have, and of course the kids who came on time were still hungry.
Right.
But it was so cool to see these young kids who would show up, like, hours early and, like, just wanted to do anything. You know, like, where do I plug this in? Just because they wanted to press in.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who stay after late and want to ask all the questions. And it's like, seeing that is so fulfilling.
It's true.
Seeing true hunger where it's like, I just want to be here. I just want to be where the presence of God is moving.
Right.
And serve. Give my time. Give my energy.
100%. And don't become too proud and say, like, you know, I don't need to be under anyone. You need to be under someone.
Yes.
And this is, again, I want to focus this. This is not for people that are called into ministry. This is for all Christians. You need to have spiritual covering.
Yeah.
You need to have, whether it is your pastor, I mean, it really should be your pastor. Your pastor is the person who you've submitted to. By going to the church, you're submitting yourself to spiritual authority. And that's how God's system works. There has to be spiritual authority. And you know, I know that as I am faithful, I mean, faithfulness is not, I mean, I'm going to use this word, and I know everyone's like, don't use that word. Faithfulness is not sexy. It is not.
Illegal.
I know.
Sound the alarms.
Last time I was on podcast, apparently I said that, and you got on me for saying that, but faithfulness is not sexy. It is not. It does not look
stop
cool.
Stop saying it.
It's not sexy.
Stop. You just know things that irks me.
Give me another word. Attractive. It's not the thing I want to say. But you know what I'm saying? It's not flashy.
Desirable.
It's not flashy. It doesn't make a good Instagram reel. It doesn't make a good post on IG, you know? So
save so much time by not saying Instagram there.
I know. I'm really going to use this time wisely now.
By explaining the fact that you said IG.
Right. It doesn't look like the end goal. But if you'll do the steps that don't look sexy, you'll get to the spot that God's called you to.
Here's the thing, and I'm sure you can agree. I'm sure most people can agree. Yeah. There's things that I had to, like, you know, do in high school or, you know, just things in Virginia that the Lord instructed me to do, and it didn't make sense. But I said, you know what? I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to serve, and I'm going to give every inch of me to this, even if it doesn't make sense.
All 6 feet.
And now... I'm not 6 feet tall. The allegations. But there's things that I did not understand why I was doing it. And maybe it was even like annoying to have to do it. But now I see, like, I need it. You know, there's things that I was faithful over and it trained me. And now I'm applying it to my life today. So it's like, you might not understand why you're doing something, but serve. Give it your all. Be faithful. And the Bible says, if you're faithful over little, you'll be made ruler over much. So maybe it seems little. That's expected. Be faithful over it.
And
give it your all. Show God that you are serious.
Right.
Show God that you're serious and that you're taking the call serious.
Your track record should prove what you say.
Yeah.
So, and the last thing I'll say about faithfulness, and then we'll see if we, the last point will be quick, but faithfulness, one of the connotations of faithfulness means it's not over a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long period of time.
Yeah.
Faithfulness means you keep after it even after you feel like quitting. The Bible says, don't get weary in well-doing, because in due season, you will reap your reward. Mm-hmm. So faithfulness does not look like, oh, I got on fire. You know, this broadcast hyped me up. I'm gonna serve at my church. I'm going to ask my youth pastors if there's anything I could do. I'm going to find an expert in my field, and I'm going to get under them. And, you know, and then like a month later, you're like, I don't see any benefit to this. That's not faithfulness. That's like one, like, don't be a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
Like, that's even worse. Like, it'd be better if you didn't even start it, because then you look like a false starter. Faithfulness is day after day, mm-hmm. month after month, year after year, even when you don't see the immediate fruit of it.
Yeah. Show up.
I always like cringe at when people are like, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey, which is very cliche and it's very cringe. Most of the time people say it, but you've got to understand that your calling is not a sprint, it's a marathon. So if you're another cliche,
I wasn't going to say anything.
Cliche dinger.
Ding, ding, ding.
It's
cliche.
About the friends you made along the way, guys. It's not about, just about laughter.
Always wear the hardest.
Live, laugh, love.
Okay. What were we saying?
It's a marathon. Don't think of your life as like the highlight reels. Think of it as the complete story. I know we're getting like philosophical here, but like, you've got to take a step back and think, like, at the end of my life, is it going to be just, you know, me trying to attain this one moment of greatness? Or is it going to be like a life of greatness lived out every day?
Yeah.
Greatness is day by day. Not trying to sound like Andy Elliott, but we're getting too motivational here. Moving on. The third point, and they all happen to start with S. This is perfect.
Wow.
This is great.
We did it.
Number one, stop waiting. Number two, serve. Number three,
we have to wait for him to write it. Like, we can see it. You can't say it unless it's written.
Starch. No, I'm just kidding. Just really trying to get
that. That was such a dad joke. No. Like, okay.
It's late.
Just said a gif after that.
It's late. Thumbs up.
Oh, my gosh. That's how my dad texts me.
Thumbs up. You all are laughing.
Oh, my gosh. Playing rainbows in the back. Okay.
Totally.
Start.
Stop waiting, serve, start. Stop waiting. You're not in the season of waiting. You're in preparation time. It's never wasted time.
Yep.
Serve. Get under someone who's far ahead of you and serve them. Be faithful in the little. Number three, start. While you're in your preparation season, like we mentioned before, there's always something that you can start doing.
Yeah.
Like we mentioned before, if you're called to preach, you have no open doors, you are watching me on a smartphone that has connection to the internet and can go live to the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
The entire world is at your fingertips. It's like, but God's not opening doors. Well, why don't you just open the doors?
Yeah.
Like, why don't you just like start? I want to like become a salesman in this industry, but I don't, you know, like, I'm not 18 yet. And so I can't be employed with this company and I can't start sales. Create your own business. The government doesn't forbid you from making money until you're 18. You can make serious bank as a 15-year-old. You know, like, start thinking, like, what if I was the richest kid in my school? What if I came up with this idea to sell whatever in my school? Like, start thinking like that. Like, why can't you start? What's stopping you from starting?
Yeah.
What, there's always something that you can
do. I think people expect, like, they want to start at the big picture.
Yeah, you're not going to start at the big picture. You're going to start at the very, very small.
You don't buy a warehouse to launch a business. Like,
right?
You start where you're at.
You start in a storefront, or you start in your house. You start in your living room. You start where you're at. Start where you're at. Don't be ashamed. The Bible says, don't despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work start. He rejoices to see the work begin. I'm going to pull that up. I quoted it like 90%. Stall the people while I look this up.
Can't just say stall the people. Starting is, I mean, you'll never get to the end result if you don't start.
The Bible says.
Okay, thanks, Alex.
Don't despise.
My time is up.
These
I've had my
small beginnings.
Minutes.
Zechariah 4:10. Don't despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. That was the book of Zechariah when they were building the wall. Like, and they're rebuilding Jerusalem, and they're seeing this. It just looks like nothing. They remember the glory of the old temple that was torn down, and now it looks like small, and it's like, we'll never get to the end. Don't despise that. You've got to start somewhere. You've got to start somewhere. So while you're 15, while you're 13, while you're even 18, and you're still deciding what path you're going to take, whether you're going to go to college, whether you're not going to go to college, whether you're going to go to Bible school, whether you're not, whether you're whatever, there's always something you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, if you think about it, there's so much time in your day now, and I'm realizing this. When I was in school, in high school, middle school, you think you're busy. You're not that busy. I mean, in reality, I know people can load themselves down with homework and it can be difficult, and I understand that. But you can always take time. I mean, instead of the time you would watch watch YouTube, learn a skill.
Everyone on here right now is watching YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is a perfect example.
Hop off this live.
It is, let me say this, it's 10:10 Eastern time on a Tuesday night, and there's 105 people watching right now. Which is pretty, I mean, that's pretty good.
Well done.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys
didn't even get that on camera.
But I mean, think about it.
I'll come into your frame.
Think about it. You are doing, and I'm kind of preaching to the choir right now, because you guys are doing what most young people won't do. You're making the sacrifice of your time to learn what? You're learning the word of God.
Yeah.
You're taking your time and you're trading it for wisdom. You're taking your time. You're trading it for skill. You're taking your time. You're trading it for knowledge. That is the thing to do. I mean, I'm not saying don't have fun. I've got hobbies. I like to. Well, right now,
wow.
I've been building furniture for my house. That's a hobby. So
new hobby.
Yeah. I mean, but you've got time, and you're doing that exact same thing. You guys are the perfect example. The perfect example. I mean, I look at all these names, and I just know you guys personally. I know Nate. I know Lucas. I know Luke Thomas.
Yeah.
Scroll up, Joanna. I know Joanna. Go up.
Hungry people.
Keep going up.
Luke. Do you
Desiree. I know Desiree.
Alina.
I know Kriston, I'll tell you.
Gabby was on.
Let me brag on Gabby. I know Gabby. Listen, let me brag on Kriston. Kriston reminds me of myself, because when I was younger, the same exact thing. I'll always see Kriston with AirPods in, and I never have to wonder what he's listening to. I know that he's listening to preaching.
Mm-hmm.
I know that he's listening to a preacher, whether he's listening to Dr. Rodney, whether he's listening to Pastor Ted, Pastor Jonathan, whether he's listening to, I don't know, who did he say he was one of his favorite preachers? Evangelist Onkit. He's a perfect example.
Yeah.
He's in high school now. He's building the skill, but what is he doing with his free time? You will never know how much effect that will have on you. That those hours and hours you spend listening to preaching, listening to the word of God, reading the Bible, praying, you'll never know until you step out. Oh my gosh, how much that I needed that, how much that helped me.
Yeah.
You took the time that you had and you invested into your future. And it's not a boring thing. I mean, like, Kriston is a perfect example of that. Kriston is a perfect example of that. And that's the kind of guy, that's the kind of person that God will promote. Because in that act, you're not only humbling yourself, but you're showing God that you're serious.
Yeah.
You're showing God, like, you called me to do this, and I'm putting everything I have into this. I could be doing a million things right now, but I'm doing this one thing.
Yeah.
This one thing I'm doing. Single track mind.
Yeah. And when you keep your mind on the right thing, it's one thing I just flipped to in my Bible. One of my favorite books, I don't know if you can say that, but one of my favorite books in the Bible
is War and Peace.
Joshua.
Oh.
What?
I thought you were just saying books.
No. Joshua.
From the Bible.
This is one of my favorites. And in the first chapter, God is saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. And he calls Joshua to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And so he says it multiple times in this first chapter, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. And he's telling Joshua to go. This is something that they've been wandering in the desert. They've been, they've seen this promise. It's been a vision for so long. They've seen the goal. And so I feel like that's a lot of people watching. You see the goal, you know what you're working towards, but he's telling Joshua, go. Go get it. And so he's saying, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. But one thing I think about so often, he says, in verse 8, it says, this is Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? There it is again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So it's like, you're called to step out into something big. And it's, your call is nothing small. It's something that requires God. It's something that requires faith. And it's not a downhill purpose. It is up. It is above. It is prosperous. What does Jeremiah 29:11 says? It says, I know the plans I have for you, the plans to prosper you and not to harm you. So the purpose for your life is big, and not only big, but there's souls attached. And so you have to be strong. You have to be courageous. But what does God tell Joshua in this is that to meditate on the word day and night. That's how you get it. As you meditate on the word day and night, you know, you're hearing the word, it's building your faith. And so that's why Kristan is, you know, he's taking the right steps. He's keeping the word of God right before his eyes, keeping it in his head. You know, you'd be surprised when you do that, when you keep the word of God constantly before you, you know, it's easy to discern thoughts. It's easy to keep your mind on the goal, keep your mind focused. And that's what'll take you to the next level. That's how Joshua was able to enter that promised land. That's how Joshua was able to be such a mighty man of God, was because he took that commandment in that first chapter of Joshua, be strong and courageous. Not to mention that he served under Moses. I would say to every person watching to do a character study of Joshua after this, because it's like, he served under Moses and carried the vision and fulfilled his purpose, entered the promised land. And that first chapter of Joshua, I think about it so often, because it's like, be strong and courageous. And when you meditate on the word in day and night, it's, you know, you, it's hard to have thoughts of doubt and fear and timidity when you keep your mind on God, you know?
That's exactly right.
When you focus on God, if you let God in his word consume your mind, there's no room for anything else.
Right.
You can't have both thoughts of faith and doubt. You're fully focused on faith, fully focused on the vision. And it's just like how David, you know, going back to the first point, David's before Goliath, he's already filled with faith. You know, he's not waiting. He's filled with faith. I've defeated a lion. I've defeated a bear.
That's exactly right.
Who are you?
I want to pray for everyone that's watching that two categories. Number one, you listen to this and you're saying, I don't know what I'm called to do yet. I still haven't heard from God what I'm called to do. To that, I would, first, before we pray, I'd say, even if that's not you and you don't know what you're called to do yet, still take these steps, still do the basic thing that God has already commanded. Win souls, read the Bible, pray.
Right.
Because he's already commanded you to do that. And if you're faithful over the little, he'll make you ruler over much. So I'm going to pray for you that God's going to speak to you what you're called to do, number one. And number two, those who are in that, they feel like they're in that season of waiting. They've not stepped into it yet. That God would not only open doors for you to step out, but that God would connect you to the right people to sit under divine connections that will take you to the next level. So if you want to receive that prayer, I want you to put emoji hands in the comments. That way I know to pray for you. Emoji hands in the comments. Across all platforms, 130 people. Well, that's pretty good. Watching live. That's great. I'm going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, for those that don't know what they're called to do, I pray that you'd reveal it to them by the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray right now that in their times of prayer, alone in their room, in their times of reading the word, that you would reveal to them the purpose that you have for them, that it's not something that's small, it's not something that's insignificant, but that it's a nation-shaking purpose. Father, I pray right now that you'd reveal it to them by the Holy Spirit that shows us and teaches us all things. In Jesus' name. Father, those who do know what they're called to do and they've not stepped out yet, they're 13, they're 14, 15, they're in middle school, high school, I pray that you would anoint them afresh, anew today, a new fresh anointing to do what they've called, do what you've called them to do. I pray that doors would open for them supernaturally. I pray that what takes others years and years and years to accomplish in their calling, they'll accomplish it in just months. Father, I pray that you connect them with the right people. Connect them with men and women of God that will show them the way. Connect them with spiritual fathers that will show them the way. And I pray that you help us to stay humble as we're preparing ourselves for your work. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.